Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Grant and Danny radio program welcomes you back. We're 1 hour away from giving away a pair of tickets to Caps opening night a week from tomorrow. You can win those at 4 right here on The Fan. And Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt joins us today at 5.
Your pals are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Tigers are leading the Guardians 2-1 in playoff baseball today, the first of 4 games being played. And the best pitcher in the sport was about to go back-to-back with Cy Young Awards in the American League. Tarek Skubal, the power lefty from Detroit, 1 run over 7 innings that scored, by the way, on an infield hit that was misplayed. But he's got 13 strikeouts through his 7 innings of 3-hit ball, an absolute masterpiece.
Just nasty.
Playoff start here. He just struck out the side with 100, 100, and 101 in the 7th inning at around 100 pitches of his outing, and he kind of walked off. Can you imagine what that must feel like?
No.
He's just like punching his teammates' gloves and just walking into the dugout. You are the baddest dude in the building. There's 40-plus thousand fans on their feet watching you, and everyone's there as Guardians fans knowing they have no chance until you're out of the game. Like, that's how good you are.
Just hoping the pitch count runs up or, you know, you feel a little tired or slip on something. But, yeah, there's not much doing offensively when that guy's on the bump. What, I mean, that is evil.
Don't you miss that?
All of
this.
Yes.
Playoff baseball.
Yes,
good
Grant.
Baseball.
Yes.
Fans caring.
Yes.
Being excited.
Say more. Yes.
But Max Scherzer on the mound, which just meant the other team didn't get any
just
hits.
A first inning strikeout. He's walking around like Dane Cook doing a TV special. You know, like I miss it so badly.
It is time for our fastest 16 minutes on G&D. Spin you around all the action from the NFL. Wakey, wakey. We got eggs, bakey, and pigskin. Early morning action on Sunday. Hopefully you woke up for the Vikings and the Steelers. It was Pittsburgh with a 24-21 win in the game. Aaron Rodgers threw for 200 yards. Sounds okay until you find out. 80 of them on one play. 120 for the rest of the game for Rodgers, but he didn't turn the ball over. And DK Metcalf made his presence felt. All of his work in the first half, 5 for 126, and this unbelievable score.
Yeah, coming off a 6 for 6 drive. He'll throw to begin this drive, and it's DK Metcalf. He's in the loose. There goes DK. A block from Austin. Inside the 5, into the end zone. 80-yard touchdown, Rodgers to Metcalf.
Either Freddie Freeman just doubled into the gap, or that's Joe Davis on the call for Fox. The Vikings turn things over to Carson Wentz, his second start. 2 costly interceptions, fumbled the football as well, threw it almost 50 times in this game and put up 350 through the air.
Yeah, they were down big in the weekly now fight with your spouse bowl, which is the morning game, which ruins everything. But Kenneth Gainwell was huge in this game, 99 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Pittsburgh's doing it, man. They're doing the Pittsburgh thing where they're not prolific. The offense isn't even good, and yet there they are at 3-1. They held on for dear life in this one as Minnesota was scrambling to come back. They were down, I think it was, 21-3 at one point. And Justin Jefferson had 126 yards on 10 catches in this game. Not quite enough to beat Pittsburgh. 8
of those catches and almost all those yards in the first half. Really, in the second half, he was just going to shut down, as was DK Metcalf. The Bills are 4-0. They look like not only a division winner, but maybe the team to beat in the AFC. Early this season, Josh Allen is running away now with the odds for the MVP. He would go back-to-back if he wins it. He throws for 209 yards and 2 touchdowns at home. They beat the Saints 31-19. The story for Buffalo, really dating back to midway through last year, They've slowly transitioned into a more physical football team.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook gets the ball a bunch. 22 carries for a buck 17. He scored a touchdown. Allen ran for 45 and a touchdown as well. But it was a 43-yard catch and run for Khalil Shakir that did in the Saints.
It's a quick pass to Shakir, trying to get him out in space. Breaks through the defense and stays on his feet. Shakir, what a play! Touchdown!
Andrew Catalan's music on CBS. 12-point win for the Bills. This game was closer than you would have thought.
Yep.
The Saints had it at 21-19 with about 7.5 minutes to go.
So this is one of those, the Bills clearly have other gears. And they're doing what the Chiefs would do for those years when they were truly elite. I know now they kind of make it with smoke and mirrors and Mahomes magic. But the, you know, kind of that mid-run where you knew they had extra. And this game, they're going to do what they have to do to win. They're plenty good enough to win with a C-minus type performance. And that's what this was. New Orleans, good for them. They tried hard. They're there. The grown-ups will take care of it when it's time to take care of it. But Buffalo is excellent. You said they might be the team to beat. They are.
Lions all over the Browns. It did take Detroit a little while to get going.
Yeah.
They did not score until there were about 3 minutes left in the first quarter. It was a 7-all game into the second quarter. And then they poured it on, a 34-10 win for the Lions. Jake Bates connected from 48 and 58. Khalif Raymond, though, on a punt return touchdown of 65 yards, doing some heavy lifting. Jared Goff throws for two scores, just 168 through the air. Jahmyr Gibbs averaged 6 yards per carry, ran for 91. But the Lions can beat you on offense. They had a strong game on defense, and it was special teams looking special.
Taking out the 45, Khalif Raymond. Across midfield, still going. One man to beat, it's the punter, Bohorquez. Touchdown, Khalif Raymond.
Kenny Albert on the broadcast. Lions plus 24 at home over the Browns. They are 3-1. Cleveland falls to 1-3. Joe Flacco picked off twice.
That week one situation is now looking more and more like an anomaly, what we've seen from Green Bay since. Obviously, they throttled Washington on Thursday night, so that's almost like week one continued. Since then, Green Bay isn't anywhere near the dominant team that we thought, right? Defensively, they just gave up 40 to the Dallas Cowboys. You may remember that from the tie the other night. Detroit now looks like Detroit again, right? It maybe took a week or two to get their footing. And even though there was a slow start, they kind of kept with it. Jahmyr Gibbs had a couple runs that he broke, and Amon-Ra St. Brown leads the NFL in touchdown receptions, had two on the day to go along with 70 yards.
Let's go to the Texans and the Titans in Houston. 26-0 dominant shutout win for the Texans. Their defense was marvelous. Held Tennessee to 175 yards and 3.8 yards per play. For C.J. Stroud, 233 and a pair of touchdowns through the air. Nico Collins led the way, 4 for 79 as a receiver. What's your Woody Marks file right now?
Everybody should be picking him up in fantasy if he's available. He's probably not if you have a league with anyone that's competent, but that was their lead back. He can move.
Fourth round pick this year, 116 overall out of USC by way of Mississippi State. He's an Alabama native. I am on to him because he has made some huge bone-rattling plays, Clinton Portis style, in pass protection, where he just blows dudes up. But it was actually the ball carrying here. 18-yard touchdown, 69 yards on the ground that gets him some headlines.
More ground, more pound, the cutback. Woody Marks, second touchdown of the game.
Beth Mowins on the call on CBS.
What can you say about Tennessee other than what my oldest son said to me when I couldn't figure out how to do an RPO on Madden? Dad, your booty cheeks. Tennessee, your booty cheeks. Houston's not very good, but they were way better than Tennessee, who's going to pick first again.
Don't look now, but Drake Maye's leading the NFL in completion percentage. 3 incompletions on a 14-for-17 schemed up, 203 in 2-day through the air. New England absolutely eviscerated Carolina.
Dominant.
42-13 Patriots over Panthers. Last week, Panthers win 30-0. This week, they lose by almost 30. Welcome to the NFL early on in 2025. Stephon Diggs goes for 100 yards, 6 catches, 7 targets. For New England, Marcus Jones had an 87-yard return for a touchdown.
Sam Martin, the veteran, for the punt, and Marcus Jones, there was no fair catch at the 12, and he squeezes out of it. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Walker's in front, past the punter. Marcus Jones And that's a punt return for a touchdown.
Is it just me or there are a lot of punt return touchdowns happening in the NFL the last couple of weeks?
It's not just you.
Also, Danny said Chris Myers didn't get up for big plays. You were wrong about that.
Whoa.
You were wrong about that.
I never said that about Chris Myers.
That was Chris Myers on the call. New England, it's starting to happen with Vrabel. They're starting to play really good defense. They've been physical in the running game. 9, 7, and 6 carries for Stevenson, Henderson, Gibson. They do the Washington bit.
Yeah.
Where nobody gets a lot of carries, but combined, they all get a normal amount of carries. Drake Mays, uber athletic, ran for a touchdown, threw for 2 more.
This is now looking Vrabel-y. This is in his image. It's this sort of thing, right? Where the sum of their parts, they're probably better. You know, you look at some of the numbers in this game. Carolina outgained New England, had more first downs, was better on third down, better in terms of average, almost better than an average per play, almost as good in passing yardage, fewer penalties, and yet they lost by 30. This was a very New England Vrabel kind of performance. Just trying to be okay, letting you mess up, but they're going to capitalize on some big plays.
Fastest 16 minutes, recapping all the action from the weekend on Grant and Danny. Dateline New York, the Giants home winners over the Chargers. This was your stunner of the weekend. 0-3 New York, 3-0 LA, and the Chargers walk away losers. 21-18 final, despite Malik Nabers, who was heavily involved in the early possessions of this game. 3 targets, 2 catches, 20 yards. Going down in the first half with a torn ACL, his season
brutal
is over. Heartbreaking for him, the Giants, one of the better young players in the NFL. But the story was Jackson Dart made his first career start. Jackson Dart threw for just 111 yards and a touchdown, ran for 54 yards and a touchdown. New York was not good offensively. 250 total yards, 3.6 per play. Like, that's a losing formula. But defensively, they made enough plays. They hit Justin Herbert enough. They turned the ball over. And they got a win in Dart's first ever game.
Team to Nabers, 7 before that. Here's a run again by Dart. First and 10. He'll take it in. His first career touchdown. And the Giants on top.
Jackson Dart is mobile. He is athletic. That's Kevin Harlan on the call.
They gave it to Cam Scataboo 25 times at 3.2 yards per carry. You can see what they want to do. They want to turn it into whatever this is. And they got it. One successful outing for there.
Cam Scataboo is Mike Allstott. But in this era where that works a little bit less. That's my call on Cam Scataboo.
It's a pretty good analogy, honestly. I don't think you're the first to come up with it, but I think you're dead right. Omarion Hampton, 128 and a touchdown on the ground. 1 long of 54. We look really explosive. Yeah, you mentioned it. Story of this one for the Chargers. You go on the road, East Coast time zone, 1 o'clock game. You lose a game you should not lose, quite frankly, but you also end up losing Joe Alt to go with Rashawn Slater. Now you are a much worse offensive line. Quentin Johnson continues his renaissance season, 898 and a touchdown for the Chargers.
It's a good time to be a Philadelphia Eagle, so long as you're not A.J. Brown, who's not that happy. They are 4-0. They have won 20 of their last 21 games. They are your reigning Super Bowl champions. And DJ Khaled wrote a song about them once. All they do is win different ways, too. 31-25, it actually shouldn't have been that close. They were up 31-13 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And then the Bucs got a 72-yard pass from Mayfield to Bucky Irving for a touchdown. They got a 58-yard field goal to pull to within 8 points. And then they got a safety as well where they were within 6. Made it a ball game, but the Eagles, as they do every single week, did just enough. 130-2 for Jalen Hurts. I know Jalen Hurts is really good. I've seen him play great in Super Bowls. I know that all that guy does is stockpile W's with Philly. But at some point, more than 130 yards would be nice if I'm going to put you in the elite category of passers. This is what they do, man. Like you said earlier about, I think it was the Reds. They got to the playoffs, and you look back, and no one had, like, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit. No one had 10 home runs. No one had, you know, 5
No one
wins.
Had a good year.
No one had an ERA under 5. That's going to be the Eagles if this keeps up. Where just there's no real plays, yards, anything. But damn if they don't score some points and win some games. Saquon Barkley on a fake tush-push doing work.
Ready?
Oh, they check it out. Saquon Barkley, they fooled everyone. He walks in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Good for them to have a wrinkle off the tush-push, by the way. By the way, Saquon Barkley, this season, on 77 attempts, he's still getting the ball a ton, 3.1 yards per carry. Yeah. He has been completely held in check.
Even with that fake that everyone was looking the opposite direction, 2.3 a carry in this game, 19 for 43. I don't understand it. Now, Philadelphia was up huge. They earned it. They were up 31-13, as you mentioned. They did not complete a pass in the second half of the football game and won. I don't know that I've ever seen that before, to be honest with you. I don't know that I'll see it again.
Supposedly it happened 2 years ago, I saw, first time since like 23. I'd love to know when that happened. I have to imagine it was like someone's up 37-3, and they quite literally only threw like six passes.
Or you're just handing it off. Yeah, who knows? But they are 4-0, and they have earned it.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I know everyone wants to take their shots, and like in a fantasy football culture, I'm right there with you. It is ugly and unesthetic, but I wouldn't want to play them this weekend. Let's go to the Rams and the Colts. This was actually a really fun game. Indy's legit, I think.
They're good.
The Colts defense is fired. Daniel Jones, even though he turned the ball over a couple times with picks, I thought showed enough in this game to feel like what's happening with him is authentic as well. But they got Matt Stafford. Stafford in the second half. Just lights out. 375-3. 88-yard touchdown to Tutu Atwell ended up being the game winner. Kyren Williams ran for 77. The Rams put up 462 in a 27-20 win. They are 3-1.
Game-winning drives in his career. Trying to start one here, and he's got Atwell all alone. Tutu Atwell! And it's 2-2 goodbye.
Tutu, hello, Kevin Kugler on Fox. When Matt Stafford's healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football.
375-3. Pookie Nukes, 13, 170, and a touchdown. It is the best life to be a number one wide receiver in Sean McVay's offense. The story of this game, though, the Colts win it, in my view, if Adonai Mitchell doesn't fumble the ball through the end zone, which would have put them up 27-13 in the second half. He did. So he loses the football. Knows it, tries to atone for it, apologized to the team the next day or whenever they got together for their team meeting, but just one of those unforgivable, unforced errors on an amazing play.
Yeah.
Great catch, spin move, breaks free from a couple defenders, outraces them to the end zone, and then just DeSean Jackson's it, fumbles it out of the end zone. They lose the possession, lose the touchdown. They don't come back from that.
That was a 75-yard catch and run by Adonai Mitchell. Goes for 96 in the game. Let's go to some fireworks post-game. Jacksonville and San Francisco. Jaguars and Niners are now both 3-1 as Jacksonville got a 5-point win, 26-21. They're buying into what Liam Cohen is preaching. This guy's a star, man. He can scheme it up. He's really, really good at play calling offensively. During the week, the D coordinator of San Francisco and former head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, said that Cohen and his staff do a good job at basically stealing signals legally. Now, he was very clear. He was on a follow-up question, said, no, it's legal what they do, but they get your signals and they use them, basically. Apparently, Liam Cohen really didn't like that because after the game, he approached Robert Saleh and basically told him, keep my name out your mouth. He did the hold me back bit against one of the guys that's one of the biggest dudes that's ever coached.
Just a chiseled yoke monster.
I mean, in a cage match, Liam Cohen would last like 8 seconds, mm-hmm. I think, against Robert Saleh, but there were a bunch of people defending him and kind of keeping them separated. That buries the lead of the Jags being 3-1. Here's what Liam Cohen can do. Get a run game going. He did it last year with
the
Bucky
ETN
Irving.
Renaissance, bro.
ETN, a buck 24, and a touchdown. They're using Bashal Tuten more as well. I know Toki gets steamed up for that. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He runs the football pretty effectively. Had 5 touches in this game. I still don't love Trevor Lawrence early this season. I think he's been just okay at best. But he was better in this game. Threw a touchdown, only 174 passing for him. Jacksonville with an 87-yard return touchdown. Have we mentioned some punt return touchdowns today? Parker Washington doing the honor, and this won the game.
50-yard punt sends Parker Washington back. He's got a punt return touchdown in his career, and he's got an alley, and he might have his second. 96 yards last year against the Patriots. He's going to house this one. And the Jaguars get the score in special teams.
Adam Amin on the call on Fox. Who's Parker Washington think he is? Do you think he's like Jalen Lane or something? What's he up to?
Yeah, why are you doing all that over there? Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 49 yards, 2.9 a pop. San Francisco really can't run it all that well, but McCaffrey was great through the air because he's great. Jacksonville, by the way, committed 12 penalties in this game, still won. Let you know that they're doing something right, even when they're doing something wrong.
12 is a show. Mm-hmm. Wow. Chiefs blow out the Ravens 37-20. Wasn't this close. It's actually a 37-13 game before a 71-yard garbage time touchdown run for Justin Hill, who went for 76. Patrick Mahomes got right. This was the best he's looked in probably a calendar year. 270 yards and 4 touchdowns. They went to Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco, and Tyquan Thornton through the air. The Chiefs cannot run the ball. Their leading rusher was Xavier Worthy, who had 2 carries. Pacheco, 7 for 35. I don't know if that's going to end up haunting them or not. I think Mahomes is still their leading rusher at this point of the season. I'm pretty sure. If not, he's close. But for the Chiefs, they did enough in the passing game to make you feel like maybe they're getting out of their slumber as they hung 37.
Pass in zone, caught, touchdown, Hollywood Brown, number four for Mahomes.
That's Jim Nantz and CBS's A-Team. In Chicago, or rather in Vegas, but in Chicago, Bears fans are happy because the boys went on the road and took out the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium by a point, 25-24. This was one of the best games of the day. Came down to a 54-yard field goal that was blocked with 38 seconds left, so Chicago got to get in victory formation. Caleb Williams overcomes an interception, 212 and a touchdown. DeAndre Swift, rushing touchdown. Roma Dunze scores every single week.
Every week.
69 and a score for him. The Swift 2-yard touchdown run came in the fourth quarter with 1:34 to play and gave the Bears a 1-point lead.
39 left in regulation. Swift to the outside, in for the Chicago touchdown.
Chicago hasn't gotten the run game going like I thought they would. That's what Ben Johnson is actually special at. I know spreading guys out and getting different looks and some of the trickeration and you know, throwing open receivers, but he had a two-headed monster where any given week it was Montgomery or it was Jahmyr Gibbs going for 120 yards. They haven't gotten going in that way yet, but enough to win. Speaking of getting going, Ashton Jeanty finally broke through. Better scheme, better whatever, I don't know, but he went for 138 yards and a touchdown and was excellent in this game. Also, had two touchdowns receiving. So a nice day for the rookie.
Did you say Ben Johnson?
Yeah. Ben Johnson alert.
He's the head coach.
Ben Johnson
in Chicago.
Alert.
That's 2-2 for the Chicago Bears and 2 in a row for Ben Johnson. Danny said Ben Johnson. I didn't say Ben Johnson. But you know what that means when someone says Ben Johnson.
What does it mean?
Darius doesn't know what it means.
He doesn't mean? Okay.
You might know what it means, but the guy that has to play the sounder does not know what it means.
I think I know what it means. Let me see that. Yeah.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
You won't play the clip. Let's go Packers-Cowboys. Sunday night football. 40 apiece. We love ties, don't we? What a weird final sequence. The Packers did everything they could to lose. They've got 15 seconds on the clock. They take a long time barking out cadences. They throw a pass. Inexplicably, a second doesn't go off after the ball's like bouncing around in the back of the end zone. And so what should have been a non-opportunity to tie the game results in them getting a field goal. And Shane McManus, who was money all night long, hits a 34-yarder for a tie at the horn.
If he just put that out of the back of the end zone, they would have run out of time. So McManus is on for the game-tying field goal.
I mean, once you get down inside of 10 seconds, anything can happen. Love could have scrambled around. He gets the ball out of his hands, but my goodness, that was terrible.
Here's McManus for the tie, 34. And this one is good, and this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game in NFL history.
The fabulous Mike Tirico with good nuggets there on the final call. If you like ties in the NFL, you also hate bacon and Christmas.
656 yards, 6 touchdowns between the two quarterbacks. Dak Prescott was outstanding. Jordan Love was pretty damn good, too. 3 touchdowns to Romeo Dobbs. George Pickens, this is the honeymoon phase. This is the good time. It's going to get bad at some point, but it's good right now. Went 8 for 134-2.
If you don't know, now you know. There you go. Your fastest 16 around the NFL. Next on Grant and Danny, let's localize the banter. How much will the return of Jaden Daniels change things for the Commanders?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan at 3:45, coming up in about 12 minutes. We'll give you a double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. Remember, in a half hour at 4 o'clock, a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see the Capitals as they open their season a week from tomorrow. It's Wednesday, October 8th, Capital One Arena, Bruins in town to take on the Caps. And at 5 o'clock today, about an hour and a half from now, Jacory Kroski-Merritt stops by the show. Looking forward to hearing from Washington's talented young running back. Danny, there's been so much time and energy spent on the Jaden Daniels injury and his effort to return. As well, there should be. He is the face of the franchise and the MVP, and he's got the keys to the kingdom and drives this car. That said, I'm kind of wondering, how much does his return actually change things? Like a good offense, which has been great against the Raiders and just okay good against Atlanta probably, might get better. You might be exceptional now and get back to being top five in the league when he returns. I don't think that's going to happen right away, though. The Chargers' defense is phenomenal. Jesse Minter, their play caller, is as good as there is. He's this year's Mike McDonald of a couple years ago with the Ravens, who got the head coaching job with Seattle. I think Minter will be a head coach somewhere as a young ascending star on that side of the ball this time next year. But because of the matchup, I don't think it's going to be like a lights-out offensive game for Washington. But I guess my question is, we kept acting like they just got to get him back and everything's okay. But really, while he was gone, the offense was perfectly fine. They should have been 2-0 based on the offensive and the Mariota performances. How much different are things actually? It's not like he's going to change anything on defense. Might they be better at time of possession because he can steal some third-down conversions or maybe stay ahead of the stick so you're not in third as long as much as you were in Atlanta? I guess in that way of each side of the ball helping each other out in a complementary nature, he could help the defense. But it's not like they missed him from the sheer standpoint of production on offense. They averaged about 34 points with Mariota at quarterback the last 2 weeks. So how much really changes with him coming back?
Well, I also need to know, the big variable to me is, what Jaden Daniels do I get? Now, I love Jaden Daniels, and he's the answer. Thank God he's here. The program is relevant. We're the cool kid. People want to come play here. The whole nine yards, you know the story. All that backdrop always applies at all times. But through the first two games, he was not special Jaden Daniels. Whether that's no preseason action, whether it's no time on the grass with McLaurin, whether that's a banged up offense before he took the field, sub 60% completion percentage, pedestrian yards per attempt, which was nowhere near what it was last year. Now, I know one of those games was against Green Bay, and the other was kind of the first season opening game against the Giants, where every result in week one was kind of weird and quirky. But now you've got a guy coming off a knee injury. If I'm told I get the Jaden Daniels that is going to drag your ass by the bootstraps to the NFC title game, that's going to put on a showcase in Detroit, that's going to convert every third and fourth down against Tampa Bay, ripping their hearts out because he is that dude and so special, then I'll talk about the difference it's going to make. But I don't know what I'm getting at this point. I want him back, and he's got to play to get there. You know what I mean? But like he didn't have his sea legs underneath him through the first 2 weeks, and now you add an injury to it.
I don't think this will happen, but I could certainly see the path to this. He comes back in what is a really difficult matchup for this offense. Mariota against the Raiders had the most favorable matchup that they have had at any point. That was the defense that had the most air in the secondary. That was, you know, if you just line up Giants with their pass rush, Packers, who were the 85 Bears for the first couple of weeks of the season.
I mean, seriously, that was unbelievable.
I don't know how the Cowboys game happened, but otherwise they've basically been, you know, a top three defense at the end of the year look to them. And then this past week, even in Atlanta, I would say that was still a better group at home than what the Raiders on short rest flying cross-country were for an early start in D.C. So if you're ranking, like, hardest matchup for a quarterback, this one is right at the top of the list. So for him to have played twice and not played that well, I think he was ranked, Danny, somewhere like 19th or 20th in EPA per play and all the stuff that he led the NFL in for much of last year after 2 weeks of football. So he was just okay. He was very pedestrian. To come back for this matchup, I could see this being a, he's a little rusty, hasn't played in a couple weeks, trying to get the timing down. Oh, by the way, still injuries, maybe no Terry McLaurin, playing this great Chargers defense. It could be a real tough game. It could be a slog. And now, fast forward to a week from now, we're three games in, and we still haven't seen Jaden from last year. So I'm not going to overreact if that's the case in any way. But don't you think there's a path to that for sure?
That's
where, like, in his three starts, they're actually 1-2, and he has looked like a, you know, statistical 17-23 quarterback in the NFL at this point?
Yeah, it's not only there's not only is there a path to it, it's what I think is going to happen. Because again, this is not, if he was hurt in November and had to miss a couple of games, like go back to last year when he was, you know, on this unbelievable run from Cincinnati, Arizona, Cleveland, even in the Baltimore game where they didn't have much of a chance.
Well, he was like completing 75% and just dialing it up.
He was splendid in those moments. Gets hurt against Carolina, comes back even, you know, not himself, but really good against Chicago, et cetera. Then, you know, Giants, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, his worst games of the season. We know the rib is broken, et cetera. If the two-game bump is there where he's got these great samples that we're just coming off of and we're sitting there looking at our watch going, come on, hurry back. That's the guy that was missing. I haven't seen that guy yet. I know he's there. It's going to happen. He's amazing. But through the first couple of weeks of the season, he wasn't that dude yet.
Right.
I don't know what the reason is. I think the answer is yes, if you start bringing up again. Lack of preseason time, lack of practice time, lack of a million different things, the moving parts on the offense, they were going to start sluggish. I was sitting there screaming about it
defense
at the end of August.
Defense is having a better plan? Maybe?
All possible.
Yeah.
Again, I think the answer is yes. So to me, I think we're not in for the, okay, he's back on. Lightning in a bottle, he's great, and now we're MVP caliber again. I think it's going to take a minute.
I would agree with that, but there is the possibility also that he comes out, waves a wand over thing, and they go score 39 against the Chargers, and he plays his butt off. Because there were a lot of those games last year where the conversation all offseason from everybody in town and nationally was, maybe he is on that level. I thought it was a little premature, but I love the player and I understand it. You can make the case he's the fifth best guy in the league. But the narrative around these parts from people who cover the team was, it's Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, you know, Lamar, and Jaden. And if he is in that conversation, if that Mount Rushmore has become five deep, then there's no reason to believe you can't go to L.A. and play really well against a really good defense and get a win. But I just think it's a tough ask. I think this is on paper, it's a really hard matchup in terms of the defense that they're playing. And then you're coming back from a multi-week injury. We're assuming you're going to be 100%, but until we see it, how do we really know? Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports, is next. I've also got some stats I want to throw at Danny that I found last night that I really, really like from a couple different sports. So we'll do that as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll get to our double play in just a second, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Danny, I've got some stats I wanted to throw out there for you. So I just found a bunch of stuff the last few days. I threw it together, put a little list together. These are just kind of like, whoa, really?
Mm-hmm.
These are kind of cool. All right, so first one, NFL. Justin Fields teams. So when Justin Fields is your starting quarterback, his team is 0-25 when the opponent scores 21 points in his career.
That's impossible.
That's insane. So 46 quarterbacks have qualified for this stat where you at least 25 times have started a game and the opposing team scored at least 21 points. He's the only one whose team has never won once. So the only times Justin Fields-led teams have ever won is when their opponent scores 20 or fewer points. That is a damning stat.
That is nuts.
Okay. Rate that stat 1 out of 10, and then I'll go to my next one.
Okay. So in terms of like how nuts it is?
Like how cool is that?
That is a cool number. That's like a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. Here's my next one on the NFL. Well, you've already said this today, so this one's not as interesting. The Eagles did not complete a single pass in the second half on Sunday.
2000. All the numbers.
That is insane.
In this day and age, this is not 1930s, where like the forward pass is not, it's frowned upon. We don't like that kind of sportsmanship around here. It's not the way we play this game. It's not that. This is the modern era where everyone grows up passing. Everybody passes at all times. Every high school's a passing offense. Used to be you go, like the one high school that like had one quarterback who could throw was like the talk of the town, and everyone ran the wishbone triple option. Everybody throws every play always. And they completed zero passes.
So you're giving
half.
Me a 10 on that one.
That's a 10. That's all the numbers.
All right, here is my third football stat for you. Puka Nacua of the LA Rams, you mentioned earlier, had 13 catches, went for 170 this weekend. Nacua has 42 grabs already through four games. That is tied for the most ever through four games with Cooper Kupp of the Rams and Michael Thomas of the Saints. He is on pace for the NFL record in catches through four games.
It's the best life. Now, you're going to get tired. You'll probably end up getting hurt because he always gets banged up. That's why I didn't draft him in any fantasy league. But my God, to be Sean McVay's number one is awesome.
The offense goes through you. All right, Major League Baseball. I got a really good one here. I want to see your grade for this stat. This is silly. Rafael Devers became the first player since Justin Morneau in 2008 to play in 163 games this year. Now, here's what happened. So Morneau that year, if memory serves, played in a game 163 with the division on the line when the Twins were tied, I think with the Guardians or somebody, whoever it was in the AL Central.
Oh, I see.
He played the full season, and then they played a game 163. So because he didn't take a day off, he played in 163 that year. Rafael Devers was playing for Boston and then was traded to San Francisco, and he just played in all the games, and so you got to play more than a full season's worth of games, which is actually a cooler way to get there.
I think that's awesome. So, like, just for the sake of argument, the Giants had a game rained out or two or something like that, or just behind by a day or two, and he's already playing 162, was on pace to do that for the Red Sox, got traded, almost like lost a day, and got the extra game for the Giants. That's cool.
Here's your next Major League Baseball stat. Trey Turner won the NL batting title this year, hitting .304. That is the lowest batting average for an NL batting champion who wins the batting title since 1876.
Yep.
304 won the batting title in the NL. This is one of those that I'm just going to keep saying over and over again and act like, oh, more people will care. The best hitter in the National League this year hit 304. Oh, my God.
Yeah. To me, Trey Turner had it.
351 used to win the batting
title. Turner had a great comment about it, by the way. He's like, yeah, it's unbelievable how nasty all the pitching is. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. It's like guys throw 100, cutters at 97. I mean, everything's gross.
Now, Judge isn't a human being or from planet Earth, but, I mean, he hit 325 or whatever.
331.
Like, when you're 325, 330, 335, that's batting title territory. Mm-hmm. 304? You're like an 0 for 7 away from hitting 297, and you win the batting title?
Yeah, that's two more hits than Dylan Lyle got. But, yeah, I mean, that's the point. To me, this is an epidemic. The total domination of efficiency, analytics, the pitchers being built in the lab, everybody throws a million. It's too hard. Like, there was no room for alternatives in baseball.
All right, so two other quickies here from baseball. Pitch clock's the best, and it's working. Nine-inning Major League Baseball games that have lasted 3 hours and 30 minutes. So this is a regulation, 27 out, nine-inning game, 3 hour and 30-minute length. There were 391 of them in 2021. There were 232 of them three seasons ago in 2022.
Got it.
In 2023, after the pitch clock, we went from 232 to 9. Last year, there were 7. 9-inning, 3-hour, and 30-minute games this year, there were 3.
3.
There were almost 400 4 years ago. And pitch clock, man.
Yeah, and almost 400 were just Red Sox-Yankees just going back and forth on Sunday Night Baseball.
And then
yeah,
the last one, Major League Baseball pitchers with 200 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another reason why it's so hard to hit. Everyone talks about stuff, velocity being up. You're also facing four pitchers in four at-bats now.
That's true.
Used to be I might get three looks at a guy. That almost never happens anymore. 200-inning pitchers by year, just to pick random years. In 2014, there were 35 of them. In 2015, there were 28 of them. As recently as... 2018, there were 13 guys that threw 300 innings. 200 innings, rather. This year in Major League Baseball, there were three pitchers.
I was going to say three or four only.
That threw 200 innings. Three. The game has changed.
It has, 100%. I mean, the 300 strikeout plateau for the elite strikeout guys, because you're throwing 200 innings easily. You average a strikeout and a half per inning, whether you're Clemens or Randy Johnson or whoever. Now it's just a thing of the past. Again, the league leader in the National League, I think, had like 220, give or take. Just a different time.
Pick your favorite stat. Which one do you like best?
I like it the least, but it's the most intriguing. The Eagles did not complete a pass in the second half of a football game. That was a one-score game.
I'm going with the pitch clock. Three games that were 3 hours and 30 minutes when we had 400 just a few years ago.
It's a good stat, too.
That is wild. All right, it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
One episode in, but I liked what I saw. Alien Earth. How in are you? I imagine you were out altogether on the Alien series. All things from Ridley Scott back in the day.
You said Alien, right?
Alien, yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
So
I actually saw the most recent one in theaters. I think I told you this. It's like a year ago now, mm-hmm. or maybe a couple years ago. It was like some Alien reinvented
Alien
thing.
Covenant or whatever it's called, yeah.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
I sneaky loved it. It was like pretty good. It was very, very weird. Not really for me, but it was an awesome movie. But I'm out, generally speaking, on that series.
Yeah, see, the original Alien, one of the great films of all time. Heightened suspense, just the intensity of it. The sequel, Aliens, years later, that they got back together and did with Sigourney Weaver and company. Really, really good. They've kind of filled out this universe now. And so they jump around in time, which is a little bit irritating and sort of frustrating to watch because it's always things like Alien Covenant and Alien Romulus and Alien Resurrection. I kind of don't know which is which or where we are. But I will say, Alien Earth, the FX series, I watched the first episode last night. It's been out for a little while, but I finally caught up and did it. I like how they're doing it. They basically start right in the middle. They don't give you a lot of exposition. They showed you kind of the beginning of something, a phenomenon that we've seen now in all the later Alien-type things. And things are happening without explanation, and we jump right in, and you're left to kind of figure it out as you go. But they do a good enough job to give you breadcrumbs. You care about the characters, and it's scary as hell. It's really, really good.
Has anybody watched Black Rabbit yet in this room?
It's in the queue on Netflix.
New Jason Statham and Jude Law show. I've heard really good things.
Statham, I thought it was Bateman.
Bateman, what did I say?
You said Statham.
Jason Bateman.
Very different.
Very, very different.
Hey Bud versus Throat Chop.
Yeah, no, this is Hey Bud. but I don't think he's Hey Budding it. It doesn't seem like it's Hey Bud Jason Bateman. He looks like it's very dramatic, bearded, long-haired, I'm an actor now, Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, him and Jude Law, supposedly an awesome show. I just can't watch TV shows during the NFL season because either there's a game on or I'm doing like the condensed games to watch all the games all week. But I want to watch Black Rabbit. So hit me up on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson or wherever you're on social if you can tell me anything about if that show's any good or worth a prioritization for me over maybe some like football game from Sunday on Wednesday night where I want to rewatch like the Patriots or something. Grant and Danny on the Fan in just a few minutes. As soon as we return, we got those tickets to see the Caps on opening night. Remember, at 5 o'clock, Beal, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, live on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.